The first category is a friend of mine that I'm still deciding if I am going to interact with anymore. The other one, the other two are kind of general, just basically girls' motivation. I have a fourth one. I'm not sure if I should read it, but basically, I wanted to see what your opinion was on a friend of mine that I cut off in October. And I have a couple of things written down about why I decided to cut him off. And I just wanted to go from there.
Sure, go ahead.
So he was having a bit of a rough patch back where he used to live. Can I name just states in general?
Sure.
I'm from California and he's from California, and that's where he's living. He's having a hard time, and so he was having such a hard time that I was like, hey, why don't you come to Texas? It's a little bit easier out here. The financial freedom is a little bit easier to make money out here and whatnot. So it took him a few months to get everything ready, and then he came out here. And when he came out here, I'd had some problems with him in the past. Like, he's very confrontational, kind of aggressive, but for the most part, when there aren't instances like that, we get along very well and, you know, talk and whatnot. But the night that he arrived was, or the day that he arrived was the day before New Year's. And he kind of smelled bad. And so I didn't say that he smelled bad. I said, hey, before you go out tonight, because we were going to go out to see the New Year's fireworks and whatnot, you should probably put on some deodorant. And he got really offended by that. And I wasn't sure why, because I thought I was doing him a favor by not having him smell bad in front of other people that we might run into and meet. That was one incident. The other incident was I was giving him directions because he didn't want to put on GPS to get to a place that we were going. And I guess I was too specific with my directions. And he kind of scolded me for telling him how to drive or something like that, when he's kind of new to the place and I know how people drive around here more than he does. So I thought I was giving him good advice on how to drive around here compared to where we're from. The fourth incident was we were playing a game of Risk. Do you know what that game is?
Heard of it. I've never played it.
It's a board game. It's kind of like you capture territories with pieces and then roll dice and see how the battle goes. So we were playing that game. And again, he's new to the game. He, like you've probably heard of it and probably played it once or twice. But he's like brand new to it, basically. And I was kind of giving them the rundown of how to play and, you know, the rules and everything. And then I was kind of giving them suggestions on what he can do. And he took it as I was telling them what to do, when they were just general suggestions on basically his position in the game and what he could do from there. And he snapped at me and scolded me in front of two other friends. And I was just like, I got really upset about that. And when it's someone I care about, I kind of shut down and think if it's my fault or not. And then, but in that moment, I shut down for about 2 minutes, and then I got up the courage to say, no, don't talk to me like that. And I didn't do anything wrong. I was just giving you suggestions. So that was the incident with the game of Risk. And then the last one was kind of the final straw for me, because it was pretty big in my eyes. A month previous to the last event, I had rolled my ankle, and it was just starting to heal, because I'd been going to the gym and working out my legs and my ankles to get it fully back up again. But I was still limping pretty bad. So we were on a walk on a trail, and it's a paved trail. So I wasn't like, it was a paved trail. And I wanted to show him a funny song, and the funny song is kind of edgy, kind of provocative, and, whatever. But I preambled what to expect from the song and why it's funny and blah, 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 before I showed him, so that, because I know he's sensitive to these types of things. And so when I did show him the song, he, after only 3 or 4 seconds of hearing, like, the first, yeah, again, the first 5 seconds of the song, he just handed my phone back to me and got really upset, flipped his arms wide, and then walked off without me. And again, I'm limping along, so I can't, like, fast walk with him. So he just kind of leaves me in the dust, and he waits for me about, like, 20 or 30 feet ahead of me, and he waits for me. And when I get back next to him, he kind of tells me why he got upset. And I'm just like, okay, well, I don't like being around people that just get all flustered like that for no reason. And plus, you're walking with me, and you know I'm injured. So you, in my eyes, you feel like damn near abandoned me. So that wasn't cool. That was the final event.
And sorry, how long ago was that?
In October.
Okay, got it. And when you broke with him October, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay, go on.
I'm debating on whether I want to contact him or not, but the thing is, I've only listened to a few of your call-in shows, so I'm not sure about your demeanor on how to talk to oneself, but I don't consider myself very high IQ, and that friend in particular is way higher IQ than me. And so if I would talk to him again, I would be at risk of falling into the, almost like falling under a spell again. And like, he could convince me to keep being his friend again if I decided to talk to him again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, for sure. Go ahead.
So I'm still debating that, but the other thing with this friend is, in that moment and at other times during our friendship, he reminded me of, he didn't remind me of, but he gave me the same feelings as when I get when I'm around one of my two brothers who used to beat me when I was a kid.
Right. Okay. Go on.
Well, I'm just not sure what to do about it, because he's been my friend since middle school and, you know, been there for me. Yeah, it's just kind of hard to let go completely, but at the same time, I kind of know that if these things keep on happening, and it's just going to be the same thing over again, and I hate feeling the way I feel when he gets upset at me. And it makes me feel as though I need to protect myself or something.
Okay. And how old are you?
31.
31. Okay. And how old is your friend? Same age?
30.
30. Okay. And is it only more recently that the friendship has become a problem, or have there been problems or big problems in the past?
There's been little things here and there. Like, this is how we first met. We were on the school bus, and I was kind of horsing around on the school bus, and I was going under the seats of the school bus because there's enough room under there to, you know, crawl or whatever. And he kind of stomps on my feet, and I talk with him after the bus ride, and somehow we became friends after that. And then throughout our friendship, there's been times where I feel like he unnecessarily snapped at me, scolded at me, there's one conversation I remember where we were over the phone while I was in Texas and he was still in California, and I wasn't getting a concept that he was trying to say to me, and after he explained it twice, I still didn't understand the concept, and he again just snapped at me and was like, "You're not listening to me," or it was more than just that, but it was abrupt and out of nowhere. So yeah, a little bit of those things over the course of our friendship.
Okay, and how is his life going as a whole?
Not very well. I don't want to reveal too much, but he went to a college. He went to a good college. He got good marks. He saved money and got into an industry that was good. He lived around where the industry was, and as soon as he was able to find an inn with the industry, COVID-19 happened, and his boss didn't say this directly to him, but in a roundabout way, he got fired because he didn't take the COVID-19 vaccine. So that kind of started him on a more pessimistic outlook of life. And he was dating this girl, and he said that she was nearly perfect for what he wanted, but she didn't want kids and he did, so he parted with her. So that's been a struggle for him. As for his parents, his dad is awesome, but I know he's had abuse from his mom before.
Okay, so is he unemployed or underemployed and without a woman?
I think he works at bars or breweries now. One of his last jobs while he was in California was at a bar. Yeah, it was a bar. And he was a bartender.
Sorry, I thought he was this very high IQ guy.
The industry that he went in was, I don't know exactly what it was, but it was winemaking. And he studied biology before that.
Well, but I mean, he's 30, you said. He's working as a bartender?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not great relative to his IQ, right? And we can say, you know, I mean, COVID was tough on everyone and so on, but we can say that's not great, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, and this is not to blame him. I'm just sort of is he happy in his life?
I really don't know. I would say he
Come on, man. He's been your friend for 20 years.
Well, he's not happy about his life. I don't know. So that's what I'm asking.
Like, I don't know if you've known the guy for 20 years or 25 years or whatever it is, right? So is he happy in his life?
Overall, no.
Okay. Now, what do most people do when they're unhappy?
I don't know.
Well, most people, when they're unhappy, take it out on other people.
Oh, okay.
I mean, have you noticed that?
Misery likes company, that sort of thing.
Well, no, that's a little bit different because miserable people prefer being around other miserable people. But people who become miserable most often end up making everyone around them miserable.
Okay. So unhappy people take it out on other people.
Well, it's the most common response to unhappiness is to take it out on other people. So for instance, if he's frustrated in his life, then he's most likely to end up making other people frustrated. Have you ever been around a depressed person?
Oh yeah, I've been quite depressed myself, yeah.
Okay. So when you're around a depressed person, imitate for me, how do they talk?
Without hope and negative all the time.
Yeah. So, you know, depressed people, they just kind of talk in this heavy way and it's kind of negative and kind of hopeless. And it's like they're putting out this kind of brain fog poison, you know?
Yeah.
And so most times, if people are acting a way that produces strong emotions in us, it's because they're refusing to admit those emotions and process those emotions in themselves. So have you ever been around a passive-aggressive person?
Yes, I believe so.
So passive-aggressive people are angry, but they're not honest about it. So what they do is they provoke other people into anger. So most times when we are getting strong emotions from someone, it's because they're not being honest about and processing those emotions themselves.
Okay. Didn't know that.
So when you were trying to explain, remind me of the conflict when you were trying to explain the game, the board game Risk.
We had started the game. He knows the rules now. We're in the game. And there comes a point where he has to make a decision on his next move. And I'm making suggestions for him. And then he tells me, I forget exactly the words that he used, but he nearly lashed out. And I think he put it like, don't play the game for me.
Okay, so did he accuse you of being sort of rude or intrusive or something like that?
I think that was insinuated.
Okay. So, did you feel kind of dumb for trying to help him or bad?
I felt embarrassed because he scolded me and two other people that I'm friends with.
Oh, he scolded you in front of two other people?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was kind of humiliating, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he inflicted an emotion called humiliation, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I asked how his life was going. Because do you think, given his education and his intelligence, do you think he feels proud to be working as a bartender?
Oh, no, probably not.
So I imagine that he finds his life humiliating.
Yeah, that would ring true.
Now, he can't be honest, I assume, I'm guessing, I don't know the guy, right? But he can't be honest and say, hey, man, you know, I feel really bad about my life. I feel like I'm a smart guy, I'm well-educated, you know, COVID came along, and now I'm stuck working as a bartender, and this is not where I pictured my life when I was 30, and I can't even get this woman to want to have a child with me, and the whole relationship blew up, and I feel really bad about my life. I mean, has he ever said anything like that?
Yes.
Okay. And how often does he talk about that stuff?
It comes up fairly often, but not every conversation. Maybe out of five conversations, maybe one.
Okay, and how does so pretend to be him as he's talking about it, so I can get a sense of how he processes where he's at in his life. So pretend to be him telling you about his life.
This isn't the America I was sold as I was growing up. I was told I would be able to live out the American dream, and I did everything right. I got good grades in high school, and I went to college, and I saved up my money, and I didn't go to jail or get in trouble, and I didn't get a girl pregnant. And when I did finally land a job, I went to college for and got good grades in college for. I got ousted from the industry, and this just isn't what I was sold on. I did everything right, and now life pretty much screwed me. Like the government or America just screwed me.
Wow, isn't that interesting? So he feels that he followed the rules and therefore he is owed success.
Yes.
And then you had an argument in some ways about the rules of the game called Risk.
Yes.
I mean, it's not an accident, right? These things tend to have a pattern to them.
I've never connected that.
That's why I do that voodoo that I do so well. All right. So you're saying you should change your strategy in the game called Risk. Is that right?
Yes. Well, and I was suggesting it. I wasn't...
Yeah. You were suggesting it, for sure. So you were suggesting that he should change his strategy in the game called Risk, and he gets angry at you.
Mm-hmm.
Because he tried being obedient, and it didn't work.
Right.
Now, whose fault is it that he believed the government?
I guess when you believe, it's your fault.
Well, it's funny because it's government propaganda that says, well, you know, you gotta keep your grades up, kid, and you gotta go to university, and you've gotta take on this debt, and blah, 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 and then everything will be good, and you'll have a good living. This is all government propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's funny that he thinks that America is somehow about believing government propaganda and doing exactly what the government tells you to do.
Yeah, I think he no longer believes that, but yeah.
No, but he's still blaming the government.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, what person with half a brain over the age of 12 believes the freaking government?
Yeah.
I mean, America was it founded on believing the government?
No.
It was actually founded on shooting the government.
Right, yeah.
So he's frustrated that although he obeyed government propaganda about how to succeed, it didn't work out. And rather than saying, huh, well, I believed what the government told me and what the retarded university told me, I believed all of that and it didn't work out, rather than saying, well, maybe I should be more skeptical of propaganda, he's angry at the government or whoever lied to him.
Right.
So he is not taking responsibility for his mistakes. Now, if he was 20 or 21 or 22, I would have more sympathy for him. But he's 30. And when things don't work out for us, I mean, everybody faces this choice in life, right? You have, I still do. When things don't work out for us, we have a choice. We can either say, I made a mistake, or we can say, the system screwed me.
Yeah.
Now, which do you think is better for long-term mental health?
Oh, definitely taking accountability. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. The example that I would give is, I got deplatformed like I don't know, 6 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever it was. And I said, I chose that. I chose to deal with very controversial topics, and I got deplatformed. Okay. And I could say, well, the people who deplatformed me were wrong. And yeah, okay, they were wrong for sure. But I know that there are wrong and bad people in the world, and I still chose to do it. It's like the guy who goes into a biker bar and calls everyone some derogatory slur for homosexual. And then he gets beaten up. And he says, the guy, they were wrong to beat me up. It's free speech. And I'm like, well, yeah, they were wrong to beat you up, but you were stupid to do that.
Yeah. You can have freedom of speech.
Sorry, go ahead.
You can have freedom of speech so long as you're okay with freedom of consequences.
Well, sure. And yeah, you should be able to call people the derogatory slur for homosexual and not get beaten up. I mean, in the same way, you should be able to walk down the street shouting the N-word and not get beaten up. But, you know, the world is what it is, right? I'd like to go out and not have to put on SPF 9000 on my German-Irish ass, but I can't do that because I'll go full tomato. So your friend is choosing to blame everyone except himself.
Is it odd that I want to maybe explain a little bit more about his personality or beliefs to you to defend him?
No, listen, I mean, I would rather not. It's up to you, but I want to talk about your brother.
Okay.
So you said you had a brother who was mean to you.
Oh, yeah.
So
still is.
What happened? Or what was he doing as a kid, and what is he doing now?
I don't even know what he does now, but I know he works with his hands. So, electrical, plumbing, technical.
No, sorry. I mean the mean stuff. What was the mean stuff he did to you as a kid?
Oh, I see. So I have, two brothers, one sister, and, the brother that I'm talking about, I'm the youngest, and, the brother I'm talking about is, the middle brother. And the only one I can remember, just because I don't know what happened to all the other memories, but I know he beat me several times over the course of years. But the only one I can remember is we were playing this game called Halo 2, and it was supposed to be a two-player game. And I was a kid, just being a kid, so I just kind of jumped off the map and, you know, died, and he got frustrated, started beating me. But other than that, I can't remember a reason why I would give him to go ahead and beat me. The only other thing I remember from my childhood that he did that was stressed me out very much was I had a stack of Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And I had them exactly in the order that I wanted them on the dresser. And he, I don't know who he was angry at, but he picked them up and then threw them across the room, and they all scattered. And that really, it sounds like a little thing, but that just really pissed me off. He did other things to the family to terrorize them, but as far as all I remember is I remember just my sister saving me from the beating several times, but I don't remember actually being beat that much.
Okay. So with the Halo 2 thing, if your brother were to be asked, why did he beat you, what would he say?
Because I wasn't progressing the game with him.
Right. So he would say, I beat my brother because he jumped off the map or fell off the map, right?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Practically, yes.
No, it's not true.
Oh, okay.
I mean, is there anything in physics that says if you jump off the map in Halo 2, your brother has to beat you up.
Oh, no.
No, it's a choice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, your brother would say, I beat my brother up because he jumped off the map in Halo 2. But that's not true. What's the most honest thing he could say why he beat you up?
And he had a lot of anger.
And what was he angry about?
I really don't know, but I think he was bullied in school.
Okay, so so did he experience physical punishment at home?
We were all spanked as kids, yeah.
Okay, so he's hit at home, he's bullied at school, he's got a lot of anger, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So he probably felt helpless and easily frustrated, and so he would say, I beat my brother up because I was being bullied and I chose to bully him to feel better. In other words, I beat my brother up because I was being as much of an asshole to him as mom and dad and people at school were being to me.
Yeah, I guess so.
This is a theory. And it doesn't, I mean, the particulars of why aren't as important as the fact that your friend did not yell at you because you played him a song. Your friend did not yell at you because you gave him suggestions in the game of Risk. And your brother did not beat you up because you jumped off the map in Halo 2. It's because of their own lack of honesty about their own problems. People either talk about their feelings or they act them out. So your brother could say either, I feel really scared and helpless about being hit at home and bullied at school, or he's going to act out that helplessness by transferring that helplessness to you. You know how one of the stories in the Bible is Jesus took the demons out of the people and put them into the pigs, and the pigs ran off a cliff. In other words, you can't get rid of the demon unless you say its name. If you don't say its name, all you can do is put the demon into someone else. So your brother was feeling scared and helpless and bullied. So he made you feel what? Scared and helpless and bullied.
In danger all the time.
Yeah. And so your brother felt in danger at home and at school. And so he made you feel scared all the time. Your friend feels humiliated by his own choices. And so when you try to present him more choices, he humiliates you. Now, the song that you played with him on the walk when after you rolled your ankle was a song that was not politically correct or anti-woke or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So this was a song that broke the rules, right?
Yeah.
And he's angry at having followed the rules.
Yeah, we were out in public too.
Right. So he's angry because he followed the rules and it went badly. And then you say, listen to this song that breaks the rules, and he gets really upset.
That's an interesting way to put it.
Well, I think it's accurate because people get triggered by things that are very specific and usually for a very deep reason.
Okay. Sorry if I'm not responding with big sentences. I'm trying to take this all in.
Well, no problem. So I don't know, obviously, whether you should keep this friend in your life, but I will tell you this. He is immature, and he will continue to act out his emotions on you, which means that you will continue to be frustrated, upset, and hurt from time to time.
Yeah, that put me in a... Well, that feeling of danger that my brother gives me, that after the last time I hung out with my friend, I kept having that feeling every day for 2 weeks, even though I was nowhere near him and not really talking to him. And so I just don't want to feel like that again. And Obviously, I'm not. I'm a big boy. I can make my own decisions, but and I pretty much already have. But I just wanted to hear what you would have to say about that.
Well, does your friend know that you were bullied by your brother?
Yeah.
Okay, so then when you know things about people, you have a special responsibility to not reproduce what upset them. So if I have a friend who, I don't know, if I have a friend who's very easily startled because he was bullied a lot as a child, then I should not think it's very funny to do a jump scare on him, right?
Right.
Because that's really upsetting to him. My other friend might just laugh, but this friend would be very upset by that. So I shouldn't do it, right? Because I know my friend. I know that jump scares are not fun for him because of his history. So I wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah.
If I have a very thin friend and I call him fatty, and not that I would, but let's just say, right? You know how like giant guys in the motorcycle gangs are always called tiny?
Oh, yeah.
So if I have a friend who's very thin and I call him fatty, I mean, it wouldn't be as offensive as if I have a friend who's obese and I call him fatty.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, if your friend goes to therapy or studies some self-knowledge or figures out the cause and effect, but he's blaming society for his bad choices. Now, I'm not talking about when he was 18 or 19 or whatever. And, you know, maybe he's got a lot of student debt and that's another reason why he's frustrated. Maybe that's why he feels he's trapped now and so on. But there's a big lesson to be learned, which is, okay, I followed the thing that the government told me to do and it didn't work out. So maybe I should be more skeptical of the government and stop swallowing propaganda like a fish with a hook. Okay, then you've learned an important lesson. But instead, he's blaming everyone and everything but himself, which means his life isn't going to get better. I mean, our life only gets better to the degree that we take responsibility for our life.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, the only reason why I know of you is because of this friend and his dad. So I'm not sure why he wasn't able to parse that out himself.
Well, there's lots of people who listen to me the same way that someone might flip through a diet book, but never change their diet. You know, I remember flipping through Arnold Schwarzenegger's book on working out. Do you think I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, no.
I do not. I will tell you that. I do not. Okay. All right. So what's the second thing that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I wrote down something that I think would add to this conversation. It's labeled beliefs about myself. I'm sure I have more than this, but this is what I could think of in time that I had. I already told you that I score a little bit low on IQ. I don't really recognize when people like me. So people kind of have to tell me that they like me. That's something that I've noticed. I like dipping into taboo beliefs. And then the last one is I know I can do anything. I want to, but I burn out pretty quickly and lose those motivations. So under one of the other categories that I wanted to talk about was motivation. And I have here that I am not really driven that much by money. So if I was driven by money, then I'd be either working, you know, 20 hours a day or getting some sort of training to make more money in whatever field, stuff like that. As I said before, I periodically get depressed and I don't have much hope for the future. And the last one is more practical. I can't seem to stick to a healthy lifestyle. So I'll go maybe 2 or 3 months to the gym and you know, eating healthier, not necessarily all the way, but healthier. And then I burn out pretty quickly on that. Not sure what we can talk about as far as that, but that's what I have written down.
Well, what is the status of dating and family formation?
I haven't dated in about 8 years.
Why the hell not?
Well, hold on. Let me count. Oh, no, no, no. Sorry. Counting way too far back. 6 years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not as big a difference as you think it is.
Well, I just want to be accurate.
Okay. Why don't you date?
I don't want to be provocative to you. I don't know how you'll take this, but if I read you something, are you going to be like upset at me or whatever?
I mean, I doubt it. I'm not easily offended, but go ahead.
Well, the first thing isn't very provocative. I've had two exes that were completely toxic. I learned a little bit about woman psychology, and I kind of resent it. And then the last one is I no longer really take women seriously or really respect them.
Are you judging women as a whole by your screwed up ex-girlfriends?
And my mom. Yeah.
And your mom. Okay. All right. So those are three examples of toxic women, and this flows out to billions and billions of women.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of messed up.
Well, no, I just want to make sure I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. So basically, when I see a woman, I hardly look at her as a potential someone that I could potentially date. It's just kind of hard for me to do that.
Sorry, you said the ideal woman. I didn't quite follow the thought.
Whenever I see a woman, I don't see someone I can date. I see someone that takes and doesn't give.
Okay, got it. Okay, that's fine. So that you don't date because you think that all women are toxic. I'm not mocking you. I just want to make sure I understand your thinking.
If that's what it boils down to, then yes.
Well, I don't want to go on a theory. You said you understand female psychology and you think that all women are takers.
I have only like a few examples of good women. Yeah, I'm not sure what to do with that.
Okay.
I know all women aren't toxic, and I know all women aren't just out to take and not give, but when you can't tell the difference and you have a hard time even categorizing what's a red flag and what's not a red flag in real time, then I'm just constantly on guard.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, if I can't tell the difference between wolves and dogs, I don't want to be around either. Okay, so tell me what was toxic about your mother and your two ex-girlfriends.
I know a little bit about your beliefs, so this might sound wrong in your perspective, but my dad spanked me when I did something wrong, and my mom hit me even if I didn't do anything wrong. So in my mind, one was right and one was wrong. And she did other things. She played favorites on the kids. I can't think of clear examples except for one thing. I was kind of rolling around in my head what went wrong with my ex years back, and I got to a one word thing where it, you know, I was trying to think about it, and then I thought in a roundabout way that it was my fault, and I was talking to my parents about it, and when I was blaming her or blaming toxicity or whatever, my mom would be, dismissive, more dismissive of the conversation. But the one time I say that it was my fault, she says, "Oh, good. Yeah," or something like that. She pretty much was like, "Yeah, you're right." And I was just like, "Are you kidding me? Like, you're supposed to be my mom."
Well, your mom said, "You're right. It is your fault."
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think that your mom is worse than your father?
Oh, yeah.
You're wrong.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to be annoying. No, because your father chose your mother.
Oh boy. Yeah. Okay.
He chose to date her. He chose to get engaged to her. He chose to get married to her. He chose to have a bunch of kids with her, and he chose to keep her around.
Yeah.
If I bring home a rabid pit bull that bites members of my family, would people be mad at the pit bull?
Oh, no, they'd be mad at the master.
Yeah, they'd be mad at me bringing home the pit bull. Your father chose to have children with a violent and abusive mother.
Yep.
And he did not protect you from her, right?
No, quite the opposite.
He kept you in the environment. Did he ever say to your mother, "You've got to stop hitting the kids, you've got to stop yelling at the kids, you've got to stop playing favorites, and you've got to be nicer"? Did he ever tell that to her?
Sorry, could you hear me? I said no.
No, okay. So how is he better than her if he chose her, gave her children, and kept her in authority over his children?
If you want a real answer, because he didn't treat us that way.
Well, if he didn't treat you that way, then he thought it was wrong to treat children that way.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Oh, yes, yes, I see what you mean, yeah. She would never do it in front of him, though. Like, I don't remember, I don't even know if he specifically knew, but...
No, hang on. So, if you had a good enough relationship with your father, and you truly trusted your father, if your mother abused you, what would you do?
I suppose I would tell him.
Yeah, you'd say to Dad, "Hey, man, you hit me, at least I know why. She hits me, I don't even know why." And what would you expect your father to do if he was a really good man?
That's a loaded question.
Not really. He thinks it's wrong to hit children for no reason. So if your mother is hitting you for no reason and you tell your father, what would he do if he was a really good man?
If he was a really good man, I still have a hard time with that question. If I told him that, then he would say there's a reason for it, or she had a good reason for it.
Okay, so you didn't tell your father because he would side with your mother.
Yes.
Okay, so he believed that she was in the right and you were in the wrong, and that she was a good mother for hitting you when you didn't deserve it, at least in this formulation.
Yes.
So how is he better than her if he agrees with her and supports her and defends her right to hit children whenever she wants?
In that context, it's not, or he's not.
Yeah, I mean, I call it the one parent who gets away. "Well, my mother was really bad, but my dad was great." Nope. They're a team. They're like the bank robber and the getaway driver. The getaway driver doesn't rob the bank, but he's the reason why the bank is being robbed. In other words, if they didn't have a getaway driver, they wouldn't rob the bank, right?
Right.
And so your mother was able to harm you and your siblings because she knew for sure that your father would side with her and support her in what she did.
Yeah.
So how is he better if she only did it because of his approval and defense?
Yeah. No, that's not better.
No. So, what was toxic about your exes?
And I, so there's this girl that, another friend of mine introduced me to, and, she was kind of shy. So we just hung out and talked for a little while. And, eventually over course of days or however long, we started dating, and, she liked to play hit, and she liked to tell me different stories about the same event that ended differently with me versus other people, and then try and pit people against each other around her. She acted like a victim in front of other people, and like blamed people around her for her feeling like a victim. It was so long ago.
A little bit like your friend, but anyway, go on.
Yeah, it was so long ago now that I can't remember like specific examples.
Okay, no, that's fine. So why were you with her?
Oh my goodness, I was so naive about people.
No, you weren't. Come on. You grew up with a toxic mother. What do you mean you were naive?
Well, this was a long time. This is about, I don't know. I was probably...
Okay, hang on. How attractive was she?
She's very attractive.
Okay, so you were horny.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. I've no problem with that. It's why we're all here, so I'm not going to complain about it. So you were with her because of sex?
We didn't have sex, no.
And how long did the relationship last?
It was on and off for about 3 years.
And this was in your early 20s?
Late mid to late teens.
Okay. And what about your second ex, the one that you last dated 6 years ago?
Man, that one, she was, I don't know how else to put this, but she was like a fanatical liberal. And at the time, I was not really that political. And so I didn't see the red flags there. But I don't know how to put it. She was so depressed that she made me depressed. And she would, I don't know how she managed to do this, but she isolated me to the point where I, at one point, wasn't hanging out with my friends at all. Barely talked or saw my parents. And then there were points where, like, we were just, I don't know, going through the motions of everyday life, and there would be random points where she would say, like, "Oh, I don't know if the way you talk to me is abusive or not. I kind of want to put this on, or post this on Facebook and see what other people think about it."
I'm so sorry. Post what on Facebook? Recordings of you?
I think there were texts between us.
Okay, so sorry. So how long were you together with this woman?
For about 4 years.
Okay. And I assume you had sex with her?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if she was someone that you knew you couldn't have sex with, for whatever reason, maybe she was asexual, maybe she was a lesbian, or maybe she was married to someone. If she was just a woman that you would have no sexual access to at all, would you have been her friend for 4 years?
Not for that long, no. Maybe for about 2.
You would have been friends with a depressed super liberal who tried to isolate you for 2 years, even with no sexual access.
I mean, she was fun to talk to.
You and I both know that there's no way in hell that you would have been friends with such a depressed, crazy woman for years if there was not the possibility or fact of sexual access.
Probably not, no.
Now, when your mother was younger, how attractive was she?
I don't know.
You've never seen a picture of your mother when she was younger?
I've seen pictures of her, but like, I don't know how else to say this, but if you're mean to me, your face looks ugly. And if you're nice to me, your face looks attractive. So she's never.
Okay. Don't snow me, bro. Cause I already asked you about the girl who was mean to you in your mid to late teens. And you said she was very attractive.
Oh, you got me there.
Yeah, sorry. Nice try. Listen, that's a really good try. I appreciate the effort. All right. Was your mother overweight when she was younger?
No.
All right. Did she have reasonably decent hair?
Yes.
Okay. Did she have a reasonably decent face?
Yes.
Okay. Did she have a reasonably decent figure?
Yes.
Okay. How attractive was your father when he was younger?
Decent, I guess. He was athletic, always wore the same haircut, had a mustache. Yeah, I would say decent.
Were they about equal levels of attractiveness?
Yeah, I would say so.
Now, did your father get together with your mother because of the virtuous qualities of her character?
Well, she was Christian. I don't know that one.
Sure you do. Sure you do. Did your mother have virtuous qualities of character?
Not in my opinion.
Well, it's more than an opinion. You experienced her having power over you for 30 years. Well, 31, I guess, technically, right?
Yeah.
So, your father did not get together with your mother because of the qualities of her character. So, why did he get together with your mother?
She was attractive?
Yeah, for sexual access.
Mm.
Right? So, you had as a template getting together with unpleasant, difficult, sometimes even dangerous women for the sake of sexual access. That was what your father modeled to you. And that's what you did in the dating market, is you chose screwed up women for the sake of sexual access, just as your father did.
Huh. Why have I never put that together? Okay.
Yeah. Well, your father isn't going to explain that to you, is he?
No, probably not.
I don't like your mother. But she opens her legs. He's not going to say that, is he?
Probably not, no.
Son, don't make the mistake that I made and just go for a woman who's sexy or sexually available, but instead look for genuine qualities of character and deep and abiding virtues. He's not going to say that either, is he?
Not in those words, no.
Well, I don't know exactly what words he would use. Now, why would your father never want to say that? Aside from the obvious of not wanting to admit it to himself. But why would your father never want to say that?
Because that's not what he pursued?
No, that is what he pursued. Your father would never want to say, I don't really like your mother, but she was sexually available, because he would be concerned that the next time you had a conflict with your mother, you would say what?
I'm not sure.
Well, Dad doesn't even like you. He told me. He told me himself. He doesn't like you at all. He only got together with you because you were willing to put out.
Oh, boy.
And how would that go for your dad?
Well, it wouldn't go great for either of us.
No, I think that there might be two burial plots in the backyard, followed by anyone else who questioned it.
Yeah.
So your father can't tell you the truth. Now, can your mother warn you about dangerous and toxic women?
No.
Right, obviously. In fact, she sided with one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you were sent off into this world full of some dangerous and toxic women with a bad pattern and no warning and no defenses.
Yeah.
Have your brothers managed to marry good, kind, virtuous women?
I would say so for my oldest brother. I don't know specifically what he did, but he did a lot of work on himself, and his life is going pretty all right.
Now, did he warn you about, let's say, the liberal woman?
He said that he did, but I don't remember him saying that, but he said that he did.
Okay. Right. So, you can't choose virtuous women
because choosing virtuous women goes against the interests of your parents. So, what is your favorite female name?
Are you asking me what my favorite female name is?
I am, in fact.
Lillian.
I'm sorry, Lillian?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say tomorrow you meet Lillian. Now, Lillian is brave, courageous, virtuous, kind, honest, and strong. And then you take lovely Lillian home to meet mommy and daddy. What does Lillian say on the drive away from mommy and daddy's house?
I don't think I like your parents.
Right. Right. I don't think I like your parents. They don't seem to treat you very well. And then she'll say, how did they treat you as a child? And you will say, what?
They kind of abused me.
Yeah, my father hit me, at least with some causality. My mother hit me randomly, and they failed to protect me from my abusive siblings, right?
Yeah.
And also, they let me languish in a world of no dating for 6 years without much feedback or interference, right?
Is that what they're supposed to be doing?
Oh, they're supposed to be helping you. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if my daughter was 30 and single, or 31 and single and hadn't dated for 6 years, man, I'd have been all over that years ago.
Yeah, and I think my parents just see me as a lost cause.
Well, that's a terrible thing. Parents don't have that. Yeah, parents don't have that luxury. You can't view your kids as a lost cause because you're the ones who've raised them. Like, your parents were the ones who raised you. They can't view you as a lost cause. It's their job to make sure you're not a lost cause.
Yeah.
So the reason you can't date Lillian is your parents don't want you dating Lillian. But you don't want to date crazy people. You don't want to date crazy women because it's bad for you. And your parents don't want you dating healthy women because it's bad for them. So you're stuck.
Does that make me stuck? I don't...
Well, you are stuck because you're not dating.
Well, I feel stuck because of the way I view women, not the way my parents view women. I would date if I was dating healthy women.
Sorry, say that again?
I feel like I am stuck because of the way I view women and not the way my parents would view a healthy woman if I brought her home.
No, but that's required. It is you have to normalize your mother by saying, all women are like my mother. My mother is just open and honest about it. And if a woman appears to be not like my mother, it's because she's hiding it. All women are like my mother. And that's very convenient for your parents. But you don't want to date a woman like your mother. But if you date a woman who's the opposite of your mother, who's a really good woman, that puts you in conflict with your parents.
Hmm.
Because she's going to meet your parents and she's going to say, whoa, I don't want them around our kids.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to have grandparents who are happy to hit my kids.
Yeah, no. Definitely not.
So, you were asking, you said, I'm not motivated by money, right?
Yes.
Do you know why you're not motivated by money?
No. And I don't know, but I've never been motivated by money, by
Well, hang on. So why are most men motivated to make extra money?
It's stored energy. Pretty much you can do whatever you want with money.
Nope. Why have men evolved the ability to provide more resources than we consume?
To be productive.
Yeah, but for what end? Why have we evolved to be so ambitious and so hardworking and so full of testosterone and so physically strong and so able to concentrate? Why have males evolved to produce 10 times the resources that we need for our own survival? To provide for what?
I guess if this is what you're getting at, is provide for a woman.
Well, no, not to provide for a woman, to provide for a woman and what?
A family.
There you go. Right. So we have evolved to be very hardworking and to produce, like, a man can live on 10% of what he needs to live on if he has a family, right? So we produce about 10 times what we need to produce in order to provide for a family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
Most men are not motivated by money. They are motivated by the need to provide for a wife and children.
Mm.
You neither have nor want a wife or children. So, of course, you're not motivated by money, because money is there to provide for a wife and children.
Yeah, I suppose that makes sense logically, but there's plenty of other people that are motivated by money that don't have a family either. So it's kind of confused on that.
Well, no, that's why we evolved. That doesn't mean that's what everyone does. Mm-hmm. Men evolved to be hardworking and produce a lot of value, because men who were not that way had less chance to reproduce. If a woman wants to have children, does she want a hardworking guy who makes a lot of money, or a lazy broke guy?
Hardworking, definitely.
Of course, right. Now, of course, there are some guys who are hardworking and they make a lot of money and they spend it on nonsense. Okay, sure. But that's, we evolved. Like, we evolved so that sex leads to children. Now, of course, we have birth control, and so, but that's how we evolved, right? So you're not particularly motivated by money because you don't have a wife and kids to support. I mean, if you met Lillian tomorrow and she said, "You're the greatest guy ever. I want to have 5 children with you." Do you think that would change your relationship to money?
Probably.
Sure. Now, you said you go to the gym and you live a healthy life only for a couple of months, and then you stop, right?
Yes.
So, why do men want to stay fit and healthy?
I do it because I want to stay, what was it called? Not get depressed, because when I'm unhealthy.
No, I'm talking, I'm sorry. Why have men evolved?
Oh.
With the goal often of being fit and healthy.
To be able to provide for a family, most likely.
Well, first you have to attract a woman, right?
Yes.
Now, is a fit, healthy man more likely to attract a woman?
Yes.
And then after he has attracted a woman, he is responsible for providing for the family. So is it important for him and his wife and the children that he stay fit and healthy?
Yes.
Right. So the woman will often encourage him to stay fit and healthy because she doesn't want him getting sick and dying because he's providing for the family. And she loves him too and all of that. But I'm talking about like the raw evolutionary stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you don't have any particular motivation to stay fit and healthy because you're not dating and you have no goals of having a family.
Yeah.
So what would it be for?
Well, I guess it'd be for me.
That's not what it was. So it didn't evolve for that. Right. And so it's just not enough of a motivation. Like, I work out several times a week because I'm an older father and I want to stay fit and healthy for my child, for my wife, and for myself and all of that as well. But it's a big bunch of motivations. So you are living a life that is ahistorical. Men are designed to be providers for and protectors of a wife and children. And you have decided, for a variety of reasons, I'm sure, to live a life that goes against your evolution. You are living an unnatural life. And that's fine. I mean, monks do it too, and there's, you know, whatever, right? But you are living a life that is unnatural for your evolution, because we are designed to pursue women, we are designed to win women, and we are designed to be fathers, right? I mean, all of our forefathers succeeded at that, otherwise we would not exist, right?
Right.
So it's like you've been given this $4 billion year inheritance called life. 1,000 generations struggled to provide you life, and you're like, I'm not going to pay it forward. It ends with me.
That sounds selfish.
Well, it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if your father had been as unmotivated as you, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So you say you struggle with depression, right?
Yeah. When I'm unhealthy, but, I've been working on that a lot the past year, just because I had this really bad episode like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
When you were approaching what age?
30.
That's right. Why were you getting depressed when you were approaching 30?
I don't know.
Because you hadn't dated in half a decade.
Yeah, probably that.
So what is your life for?
Oh, that's kind of what I am still trying to figure out.
Well, you're 31 years old.
Yeah.
What is your life for? Now, listen, you don't necessarily have to have a wife and kids and blah, blah, but it should be for something, right? Maybe it's to create beauty in the world. Maybe it's to make other people laugh. Maybe it's to make people happy. Maybe it's to create beautiful music. Maybe it's to be a great resource in the neighborhood. Maybe it's to help the elderly, but something. Something more than just I, me, me, I. What is your life for?
I've thought about all those things, and I cannot put a, I can't put a pin in it. Can't put what my life would be for bigger than me.
Right. Well, you have another 55 years on the planet, statistically, right?
Yeah.
That's more than, well, that's almost twice as long as you've been alive. And four times as long as you've been an adult. What are you going to do with all that time? Is it just about working and eating and what? Listening to music, playing video games, traveling? What are you going to do with that time? What's it for?
I don't know. I know I have plans for next year, but that's just another move. And
so you're just moving again and doing something else and going someplace new, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And is that going to solve your problem or the question of what is your life for?
Probably not, but I'm hoping.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know what the answer is. In general, the answer for most people is get out there, get a good woman, and raise some kids. Then your life will have meaning, guaranteed, especially if you homeschool. And if there's something else that you can do that is more than just about yourself, fantastic. But we evolved with country, tribe, God, wife, children. We evolved to serve things larger than ourselves, particularly, well, I mean, women serve their children in particular, and men serve wives and children and country and God. So we evolved to serve things larger than ourselves.
Yeah. I tried getting into religion, but I just couldn't. So I tried having that as a reason. I'm not sure.
Well, again, I obviously can't answer it for you. I'm just saying that as you move forward in life, your short-term pleasures will get less and less.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is called the hedonic treadmill, right? So I'm sure you remember the very first paycheck you got, how excited you were. Now you get a paycheck, it probably doesn't matter that much.
Correct, yeah.
The first time you flew on an airplane was the coolest thing ever. If you've flown a lot like I have, it doesn't really matter that much anymore. In fact, it's kind of a drag.
Yeah.
The first time you spent a summer afternoon in a swimming pool was probably one of the greatest times of your life. Now maybe it doesn't matter as much. So the pleasures that are just about you diminish over time.
Yes.
And if you are to think of not going through life alone, because you're alone, right?
Yes.
Now, are we social animals?
Oh, yeah.
So your friends may be falling away because either they get married and move on with their lives, or they get weird and bachelory like your friend has, and maybe how you'll become over time. So you are living without a higher purpose, without a woman, without children, and without much social life, right?
Yeah.
That is very much living against what is natural to us. Now, again, just because it's natural doesn't mean you have to. I'm just saying that it is how we're designed. It's what we're designed for.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I would attract a woman, because even if I was able to attract one, I still wouldn't trust it.
Well, the decisions you make over the next couple of years will define whether you have love in your life or you're all alone.
That's a statistic?
Well, no, it's just, let's say you get to be 35 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it will have been 10 years since you dated. Now, imagine it had been 10 years since you had a job. How easy would it be to get a job?
Oh, not very easy. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so after a certain amount of time out of the dating market, it's very, very tough to get into the dating market because you're out of practice. You're out of skills. And a woman will say, holy crap. Well, first of all, this guy hasn't dated in 10 years, so he's almost certainly a pornography addict, right? And mm-hmm. you don't have to tell me, but I mean, you have sex drives and that's usually the way the bachelors go, right? So he's a pornography addict. Other women don't want him, and he has no developed relationship skills. He doesn't know how to negotiate. He doesn't know how to work for mutual happiness. He doesn't know how to resolve conflicts in a productive way. And he's fine alone. And being fine alone, whether it's right or wrong, being fine alone, particularly to women, makes you look like a weirdo. You know, like there's some, like the Boo Radley guy who lives on this end of the street and never goes anywhere, never has anyone come to see him. It's just weird, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're already close to this cliff edge because, you know, you meet some woman of your dreams tomorrow, you kind of got to explain why you haven't dated anyone in 6 years, and you've only had two relationships, which were both bloody horrible.
Yeah.
You have to be able to explain your life to other people.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Because if some woman is going to judge you, as well as you judging her, she's going to judge you and she's going to see what? A guy who thinks all women are kind of terrible, a guy with a pretty bad family, a guy who's been completely alone and hasn't really missed the company of women, a guy who doesn't know how to have relationships, who doesn't know how to be in love, who doesn't care to be in love. I mean, you are going to get judged. We all are.
Yeah.
And how appealing does it look the longer you're alone? Does it make you more attractive or less attractive?
Less attractive.
Right. So if it's hard now, it gets harder later. Every day, it's going to get harder and harder. So if you don't turn around now, the odds of you turning around get lower and lower. And at some point, you will be permanently alone. Because you're a dude. Did you keep your hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I'm telling you, that's a big problem because you don't look like you're aging, right?
No, not really.
No, so you're 31, you got a full head of hair. If you were balding, you'd be like, oh, I'm aging, right? You're 31, you got a full head of hair, which means you're not going to lose your hair, right? It doesn't start when you're 40 usually, right? Or very little. So you don't really look that much older than 5 or 10 years ago, because for a lot of guys, either it's weight gain or they start getting the widow's peak or the balding or something like that. And I knew it, man, because I've talked to all the guys who just drift along like their days are copy-paste. Well, every single one of them has kept their hair.
Okay.
Because we don't get the time markers. Like a woman gets a time marker because she goes through a period. She loses an egg every month, right?
Uh-huh.
We don't have that. We're just like these tanks just rolling forward, right?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, man, time is passing. And good women are being snatched up for marriage all around you every day by guys who get off their ass and go talk to girls. So you're running out of good women. You're running out of credibility that you can have a relationship because you're fine without one and you don't seem to care, which again makes you look like a porn addict. Whether that's fair or not, it doesn't really matter. It's what women will assume and they'd be right most of the time.
Uh-huh.
And also that you don't feel like you have anything to offer.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't really feel like I have much to offer. The person we were talking about earlier, they went off to college and they got in an industry that was going to be able to make decent money, and I don't have any of that going for me.
Right. Well, if you don't feel like you have anything, let's say you don't feel like you have much to offer an employer, does staying out of the workforce help that or not help that?
I feel like that question doesn't really relate to the topic.
Well, it does a little bit. If I feel like I don't have anything to offer an employer and I haven't had a job in 6 years, does it get better if I haven't had a job in 7 years? Do I have more to offer or less to offer an employer?
Or less to offer.
Right. So that's what I mean. Like, if you feel like you don't have much to offer, then staying out of the dating market is just going to reinforce that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if I say, I can't bench press any decent weights, so I'm going to stay out of the gym, that just means I get weaker, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, I guess that answers that.
All right. Well, listen, I've given you a whole bunch of stuff to chew on, and I really do appreciate your honesty and openness in the call. And, of course, you're certainly welcome to call back if there's anything else I can help you with, but I've certainly given you some stuff, hopefully productive, to chew on today, if that means anything.
Yeah, I haven't been given this direct of a mirror before. All right, well, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, brother. I hope you'll stay in touch. And thank you again for the conversation today. I think it was very helpful.
All right. Thank you.
All the best. Bye-bye.